Thank you, choir. Take your Bibles now and turn to 2 Kings, if you will. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. The title of the message today is Naaman, Wash and Be Clean. A familiar story to many of us. 2 Kings chapter 5. I want to read 14 verses. You follow, please, as I read, beginning with verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host, that means he was an important man, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel, the little Jewish girl. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent or tore his head. Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him, and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith unto thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Now Naaman was an important man. In fact, the name Naaman literally means beautiful. Naaman, God, that the people there in Syria worship. And so he was named after the sun god. He was a military hero. Many, many military heroes in our country have gone on to be president. George Washington was a military hero who went on to be president. We have others that went on to be great presidents. We have Ulysses S. Grant, who was a mighty hero, who became president. We have Dwight Eisenhower, who later became president. When I was in Bayeux in France, at Normandy in that area, the missionary arranged for me to stay in the same room at the Lions Hotel where Eisenhower had stayed. It was quite a treat to go there and be in that place. But they were mighty men and mighty military men. And many times when they have been successful military men, they can run for president. And that's how powerful they are. But here's the problem with Naaman. Naaman was a man of valor, verse 1 tells us. And yet, he was a leper. Naaman was an important man, but he was a leper. Naaman was very amiable, I believe, but he was a leper. No doubt, in his position, he was very cultured and refined, but yet he was a leper. He was certainly very affluent and wealthy and well off, but he had a problem. He was a leper. And leprosy, as you know, is a sign of sin. He is typical of a person without the Lord Jesus Christ. But then on the scene comes a precious little girl in verse 2. The Syrians had gone out, and in their battles they had ransacked these places in Israel, some of the little villages out there. And one of these times they brought back this little girl. And so Naaman's wife no doubt took a liking to her, and perhaps Naaman. And she got assigned to their house to be their little servant girl. By the way, don't despise the day of little things. And don't despise the fact that you may not have all the great gifts. Whatever gift you have, whatever you can do, you do it for the glory of God wherever you are, wherever God has put you. And here's a little girl. Verse 2 says, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she just sort of made the statement, I wish that I could get my Lord Naaman. I wish I could get him to the prophet of God, because I know the prophet of God has the answer for him. He could be healed. She just spoke up. By the way, that tells me something about this little girl. She had good, godly Jewish parents. Amen. And she had been brought up right. She wasn't mad. She was not angry about her position in life. She was not complaining. She was not griping about it. She just sensed, evidently because she was brought up right, that she was there and God had her there for a purpose. And so she spoke up. I believe it also tells us that her parents were good, godly people that brought her up right. And I believe that they taught her doctrine, because she believed and was taught that God could work a miracle. She had been taught well, hadn't she? Parents, you ought to teach your children right. And teach them young, and teach them the doctrines of Almighty God, so when they're in a situation, they can bring honor and glory to God. And so she just made that statement. And finally, the word got around to the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad. And Ben-Hadad said, I know what I'll do. I'll just send some gifts and some people, and I'll send Naaman to the king of Israel. I'll send him over to Jehoram, who was at that time king of Israel. And I will see that, I'll try to give him a letter and see that he's going to heal Naaman. And so he gets there, he comes to him, and all of the problems and all the difficulties that he has, and he gets to the king, and the king says, who does he think I am? Now you would think the place to go would be to the king, that the king could work out the problems. By the way, whenever they came to find the Lord Jesus Christ, where did they go first? They went to the king. They thought he would be there, but he wasn't there. He was in a lowly stable, and he was there as the servant where a lamb ought to be. And that's where they found the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he sends him to the king, and the king throws up his hands and says, well, I can't heal him. I can't do this. Who does he think I am? He's just trying to stir up trouble. That's all he's trying to do. He's trying to create a problem between Syria and Israel. Well, one of his servants, one that knew God, no doubt, and knew Elisha was around. Isn't it amazing how God had Elisha around a lot of these places in his providence to be there? And so this one talks to the king and says, I believe that there's a man here by the name of Elisha, and that man can help out. And evidently the word got to Elisha. And look at verse 8. And so it was when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had tore his clothes, and he sent to the king saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." He said, "Let him come to me. I've got the answer. I'm the prophet. I'm the man of God. I have the answer." And folks, the man of God who stands on the word of God and preaches the word of God does have the answer. There's not an issue in life that you face that this book will not take care of if you'll depend on it and believe it. And so he came to Elisha. And Elisha said, "Yeah, I can take care of it." Now, here comes Naaman. Look at verse 9. We see him coming up in his pomp. All of this gold, all of the horses, and I believe maybe more horses. It says plural. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Here he is rolling up in his Rolls Royce and all of his entourage in the front of the little old preacher's house, his parsonage, you know. And he comes up to Elisha, and Elisha is in a situation where he could go out. Man, this was his opportunity, wasn't it? "Elisha, why don't you come out?" It's a strange thing. Elisha didn't come out of the house. He sent a messenger unto him saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean." He didn't even come out of the house. He didn't even come out. Here's a big shot. I mean, here's a man, Naaman, who is the captain of the host. Here's a 4-star general. Here's a man with all of this, and all this money, and all of these people with him. And Elisha says, "I go out and tell him what he's supposed to do." Why do you reckon Elisha didn't go out there? Here's why I think. Because he wanted God to get all the glory. Elisha could have strutted out there like most independent Baptist preachers would have done and said, "Man, you've got me now. And here I am. What do you want? All I'm asking is for a position and a place in the White House. Make me the chaplain, all right?" Or something like that. And so he's in that predicament, in that situation. But he says, "No, I'm just going to stay in the background and let God get the glory. And I'm not going to make this my opportunistic time." Wouldn't we all be better off if we'd let God get the glory? Amen. And quit trying to get the glory for ourselves. Stay in the background and lift him up and let him be magnified and glorified. "Oh, Elisha, this is your opportunity." But Elisha says, "I want God to get the glory." Well, evidently Naaman wasn't too help on that. He didn't quite like what happened. Verse 11 tells us, "But Naaman was wroth, and he went away and said, 'Behold, I thought.'" Now those are two key words. He said, "We've got 2 streams over in Syria. And by the way, they come down from those mountains, and they are, I'm told, I've never been there, some have, but they say they are pristine and beautiful even now. Clear, crystal clear, beautiful tributaries of water that come out of those mountains down into that desert in that area." And he was right. And he was saying, "I could go back and I could be baptized rather than the Jordan." The Jordan, from the place of Galilee, from up in the northern part all the way down the southern part, drops over 1,000 feet, and the water runs swiftly, and many times it's real muddy. I heard a preacher preach, and I heard a title of a lesson, 7 ducks in muddy water, you know, and that's about what he had right here. But he didn't like that idea. You know why? Because it was humiliating. It humbled him. And so he cries out, and what does he say? I thought my preconceived program of how I get to heaven, my preconceived idea of how I get saved, I thought that I could buy my way to be healed. I brought a lot of money with me. I thought my prestige could get me in to him, and that would do it. I thought all of these things would cause me to be looked upon as a very special privilege of character. I thought he'll come out to me and stand. And I thought he'd ask me to do some great thing. You know what? I'm glad that God is a giver, not a taker. He is a giver. and you can't earn salvation. You don't bring him gold and silver or anything else. He got mad about it when he found out there was one way God wanted him to do it. God says, we've got to humble ourselves. We've got to be spiritually bankrupt and kneel down before him in order to be healed, in order to be saved, as this typifies. We've got to do it God's way. Amen. It may not seem logical, but we've got to do it God's way. And so he says, I thought. And then he talks about these rivers. And then a wise servant, some of his servants, came to him and spoke to him in verse 13, said, you know, we want to be very careful how we say this, but you know, Naaman, if he had asked you to do some great thing, you'd have done that. If he had asked you to go on over to Egypt and conquered Pharaoh and his army, you'd have been glad to do that. If he had asked you to go and fight a military battle and free them up or help them out in some way, you'd have been glad. It brought glory to you. You would have done this great thing if he had asked you to do some great thing. And that was the problem. Pride. Me. Self-centered. I can get to heaven my own way. I'm good enough. I can brag about how good I am. All of that. And so they talked a little sense into his head. And then in verse 14, something happened. Look at it. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan. Here they are. He's mad. He's in a huff. And he's riding in the chariots going fast in the white steeds. And they had the best. He had the best of horses, the most beautiful horses you ever saw. And he's going in the wrong direction, going away from God, going away from being healed, going away from being what God wanted him to be and what he could have been. And all of a sudden he says, whoa! Stop these steeds. And he turned around. You know what that is in the Bible? That's repentance, my dear friend. You see, a lot of people want to do it their way, and they go along, and some act like they repent and they really don't. But I believe that salvation and repentance go together simultaneously. You've got to turn from something and you turn to someone. You turn from your sin and you turn to Jesus Christ. And until you're willing to humble yourself and repent, you will not get to heaven. Amen. We've got to humble ourselves. We've got to come God's way. We've got to do it God's way. Can you see old Naaman going down in that muddy water? Maybe a little reluctant. Just, you know, well, what am I doing? But that's what they said do. And I sure do want to be healed. I surely do want to be healed. Do you know God's plan is always simple? It's never hard. Naaman was trying to make it hard. Elisha said, go down the river and duck yourself seven times. You'll be healed. You see, Jesus said, look and live. Amen. Believe and be saved. Trust me and go to heaven. Amen. Amen. Jesus never makes it hard. He just wants us to repent and come to him. Bring our leprosy, bring our sin to him. And that's all he wants. Somebody says, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do from now on. I'm going to turn over a new leaf and I'm going to start living a good life and I'm going to live for God from now on and go to heaven. Well, friend, what are you going to do with your past sin? You still got to have a redeemer, amen? You've got to have the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the simple plan. Look and live. We've got to have Jesus. Amen. One of these days I'm going to die. And if he doesn't come in my lifetime, and somebody's going to have to raise me from the grave. I can't do it. He's going to have to do it. Amen. You got to look to Jesus. You've got to turn to him and know that he's going to do it. And he's the one that's going to open the door to heaven for me to go in. Can you see the sight of all of the saints going into heaven? What a glorious sight it's going to be. By the way, I believe when he came up and he was clean, I believe he got excited about it. I believe when he looked down at his hands, and you know, leprosy is a horrible disease. It'll eat your hands off and it'll just keep eating and eat your arm off. And there's still leper colonies around the world today. Eat your feet off, eat your lips off, ears and all of that. And all of a sudden he comes up, number seven, when he comes up, his skin just like a little baby's. I wouldn't be surprised if he shouted.
I wouldn't be surprised if he kicked his heels up in the air and said, "Glory to God, hallelujah, I am happy. I'm healed. I'm not a leper anymore. Praise God, I'm not a leper anymore." We ought to be excited about being born again. People can't get excited about being born again. I wonder if they've ever been born again. If you get healed, friend, you'll be excited about the healing. And I believe old Naaman was so excited about it. In verse 15, he returned to the man of God. He and all his company came and stood before him. And he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." By the way, he wouldn't even take it. He said, "I'm not for hire. And you don't buy this. I want you to be sure you understand you got it by grace and you're going to keep it by grace. Keep your money. I don't need your money. The gospel is not to be prostituted out. It's not for sale. It's the grace of Almighty God." And what grace it really is. I'm glad for that. You know, we think about going to heaven, and I started to talk about it a while ago. One of these days, that's going to happen. One of these days, he's going to go into heaven. One of these days, he's going to walk in there as a pardoned saint of God. Totally changed. And in the sense that we know he's already there, but I believe one of these days there's going to be the opening of the door to heaven, and the saints are going to march in. And you know, we might look at it and say, "Well, here they come." You know, when there's a lot of important people, it's a big to-do. I've never been to one quite that big where they sound the trumpets and all that. But I've seen them on television and that kind of thing. And maybe Ben-Hur or something like that. You know, and they're going into the king's palace and they announce who's coming in. And they're talking about them and they'll announce, "Well, here's Prince and Princess of so-and-so," and they march down and they blow the trumpets, and then they'll say, "Lord and Lady so-and-so," and they'll march down and they'll blow the trumpets, and then they'll say, "Count and Countess of so-and-so," and they'll march down and they'll blow the trumpet, but I'm not in that crowd, are you? But then they'll come to the Old Testament guys and they'll say, "Here comes Abraham marching in, oh Abraham, and Isaac and Jacob, and here's Noah and all of these," and they're marching in, they blow the trumpet, and I say, I'm still not in that crowd, but I'm glad they're going in when the saints go marching in. And we get over in the New Testament, all of a sudden they say, "Here comes the Apostle Paul," and they blow that trumpet and Paul walks down. "Here comes Peter," and he's still got his foot in his mouth, but here he comes and he's walking down, and they sound the trumpet. And Silas and all the rest, and I say, but I'm not in that crowd. Here they come, they're coming in. And then all of a sudden they just decide, "We're going to let everybody in." They sound the trumpet and they say, "Here comes all the saints of God." And I say, man, I'm in that crowd. Move over, here I come. I'm saved, hallelujah. I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven because of the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ, who made it easy for me and for you to be saved. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. If God said you had to be educated, some of us wouldn't get to heaven, would we? What if he said you had to have a PhD to go to heaven? Some of us would miss it a long ways. If God said you got to have money in order to get to heaven, a lot of us would be, say, well, I'll never have enough. I'll never get there. I owe too much. God would say, that's all right. You'd say, well, I've got to be old in order to go to heaven. Oh, friend, you might die at an early age. I've got to be rich. I've got to be educated. I've got to be... No, God says, just be anybody and come to Jesus, and whosoever ever will shall be saved. Amen? Just come and be saved. God healed Naaman. Totally, completely. In a simple fashion, because he humbled himself and did what God said do. Friend, if you're here without Christ today, that's exactly what you've got to do. That's what you need to do. Let's all stand. There may be some Christians here. Listen, sometimes
that the Christians hear that sometimes get away from the Lord, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And you know you've been healed by the grace of God. You know that He made you white as snow. And you remember when you got saved, but somehow you're away from God. You're like those disciples that we studied about in John chapter 21 today. Peter said, I'm going fishing. The rest of them are going fishing with him, and they weren't catching any fish. You know why? They were out of God's will. When they got in God's will and did what Jesus said, they started catching the fish. Friend, I believe there are some Christians here who need to do business today. But let me tell you unequivocally, without reservation, that if you'll just trust Jesus as your Savior today, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be made whole, thou shalt be saved. I invite you to come. May God help us. Father, speak to our hearts. We believe you have through your word, with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for this magnificent and beautiful story that teaches us so many wonderful things. God, we're thankful that we can see in the life of Naaman, who was healed from his leprosy, how we can get saved by simple faith and trusting Christ. And I pray if there's a lost person here today, they'd come to Jesus. Trust Him as Savior. May you speak to those that are saved, that we might do what we know we should do in our thankfulness and appreciation to you for healing us from our lost condition. Oh God, help us to be thankful for that. Thankful enough to give and serve and do right. And Father, I pray if there are those who need to join our church today, you would give them that peace and lead them. Some who need to come for public profession of faith, follow you in believers' baptism. May your will be done now, and we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Come as God speaks. Would you come?